listening to Female VC Lab, a podcast that showcases the journeys of female investors. My name is Barbara Bickham, and I am an award-winning CTO and VC that teaches companies and investors about emerging technology. I am sitting down with female VCs and investors to talk about their funds, how they invest, and how they make an impact. Welcome to the Female VC Lab podcast. I have Liz here. Liz, in one line, give your name, your title, and the name of your fund.
Elizabeth Kuka, CEO at Purpose for Profit.
Thank you, Liz. What inspired you to become a venture capitalist or an investor?
Money makes the world go round. And so when you can deploy capital to projects that you believe in, I think that's the right thing to do. How can you help empower people to bring their vision to life and make a real change in the world?
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about Purpose for Profit's thesis and the motivation behind that.
Yeah. So Purpose for Profit, we are a tokenized lending fund or a tokenized credit fund, essentially. And so what that means is that we provide below market rate loans to businesses building affordable and mixed income housing. And we do that through a funding mechanism where folks buy a token and we take 85% of what's been purchased, and we deploy that to those loans that I had mentioned. We start with construction bridge loans. It's a side of the market where 70 to 80% of lending comes from private institutions at 15 to 20%. We can bring down the cost. We're able to give returns to folks who hold that token when they stake with us. We have a tier structure in place that we can or can't go into in this call. I'll send you links later.
And we'll put those in the show notes.
Yeah. So folks can speculate or they can stake and get essentially a percentage of our revenue pool. So the concept is definitely new and different. We're bringing down the cost of building affordable housing, keeping it on track to come to market on time, while also doing a fund in a new way. So instead of having to sign a subscription agreement, but we will get there in the next phase of what we're doing, instead of signing a subscription agreement and a prospectus and having 180 pages of legal documents, you buy a token and there's a smart contract underneath the hood.
That's awesome. So this is a new funding structure, which I'm always appreciative of new funding structures. What made you think about affordable housing in this way versus the more traditional way?
Yes. So if you look at a lot of nonprofits right now, if you talk to nonprofits, they're having a difficult time raising money. Either they're having a difficult time raising money, yes, or there's donor burnout is another issue.
Yes.
We talked with Shannon Zuckerberg Foundation. One of their key kind of initiatives is to find new funding streams. So having crypto at over $3 trillion right now, there's, yes, a ton of money that's just sitting around moving from pocket to pocket, but isn't really doing anything in the real world. And so it seemed like since I've been in this space for full time since 2018 and around before that, it just seems like, why are we not taking this capital and putting it to good use? And then also leveraging blockchain technology to be able to have complete transparency in where the money's going, when money's coming back, our assets under management. It's transparency in fund management, and also having a more even playing field of how funds are distributed back to participants.
Thank you for explaining that to us, Liz. We do appreciate it. It's a different way to think about a philanthropic endeavor.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit. So first and, yes, foremost, unlike most funds that aren't going to be, which is all good. It's just, it's a different model. So as a nonprofit, we do have reporting obligations. And also I want to talk to the point that like a lot of people think about nonprofit and they're like, we've talked to multiple investors. They're like, I don't do nonprofit. I'm like, wait a second. You can get returns. Don't freak out. But as a nonprofit, we do have reporting obligations. And instead of waiting a quarter or a year out to be able to report, you can pull a report in real time. Anyone who's participating and staking with it. So that I think is really important, not only for the board or for token holders or like investors or lenders, right? But the second piece is as a nonprofit, what that means is that we, as the core operating team, we take a very small percentage to pay ourselves to keep things afloat. it doesn't mean that we can't give our lenders or investors, we don't call them investors because we're a nonprofit, but our lenders can make returns. And so that's where people get, I think, a little bit confused about nonprofits can't be a good business opportunity for them to participate in. They certainly can. It just hasn't been done yet. As a nonprofit, we can sell securities. As a nonprofit, people can
Right.
stake their tokens with us as a debt-based offering. And so it's really just like a legal structuring issue.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Liz, I'm sure you've been learning and listening to and reading to a lot about lending, but what else have you been learning or listening to or reading these days?
Other than your amazing write-ups, Barb, and reading
Well,
about
thank you, Liz. I
AI.
appreciate that. You're reading my AI write-ups. I appreciate that.
I'm reading a lot about AI.
Trellin.com.
Huh?
Trellin.com. There's a whole
Trellin.com.
AI thing, or you can go on the Trellin GTP and ask it.
Yeah, other things I've been reading about. There's Turner Labs over at Cal Berkeley. They have a housing initiative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so check that out. They just launched their first cohort of companies that they're working with. I think they just started. And it's engineers, contractors, architects, and hardware who are all working together to bring housing to market in a more effective, cost-effective, efficient, and sustainable way. And so there's folks doing interesting things out there when it comes to housing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is a team I just talked to out of the University of Utah yesterday. They're also funding housing initiatives. A lot of teams, I already mentioned Shannon Zuckerberg. So there's a number of people who are putting money into housing, not enough. I'd say a lot of folks have been wanting to support from the philanthropic side, education, which is also vastly important. And as a former educator, I know that. However, with that said, we know that having safe and affordable housing is a big indicator in economic, education, and health outcomes. And so people don't
That's
think
true.
about that. They don't think about if somebody doesn't have a safe place to live
Of course.
or aren't located close to high quality education. They don't really think about that, how much it impacts their life. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. Liz, bonus question. Everyone gets it. In 2 years, how do you see venture capital or investing having changed or evolved? 2 years from now, when we're talking, but we're going to be talking before then.
Yeah, we are. We better.
We absolutely
I'm going
are.
to talk to you like next week.
Yes, we'll
I
be on
hope.
the, yes, we'll be talking next week.
Yeah, I think, how do I see venture capital changing? I think we're going to see a bigger, clearly crypto, digital assets are on the rise right now. We've seen this
Yes.
before. It's at a point where it seems so extraordinary that it's difficult to see it ever. I never thought it was going to go away, but I think for the broader population of folks who aren't as bought in, I think they're starting to see it's not going anywhere. And what digital assets enable is liquidity, right? So
Yes.
instead of being locked up for 7 years or 10 years, same thing in traditional real estate, instead of being locked in for 6 years
Yes.
before you're going to see any returns, it's way faster capital. And so it's about being smart about how you deploy that capital because it's moving so fast. And so I think there's going to be a shift there, a lot of new money coming in when it comes to investing. So you have a lot of younger people becoming very wealthy very quickly who don't necessarily know how to do diligence or aren't patient, and it's exciting. And
Right.
so there's going to be a lot of need for education. It's been
Yes.
mentioned before by other like longtime partners at different funds that you see a lot of like money just being thrown away, which of course you have the right to do that, but it's also a waste of time and
Well,
also.
you're potentially, if you're throwing money away, you're impacting your wealth preservation and wealth growth potential, right? If you're just throwing it away, diligence is there for risk reduction. You can't 100% mitigate risk, right? But it's there for risk reduction and to help you make an informed decision. That's why it's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. How do people contact you?
They can go to Purpose For with the FOR, purposeforprofit.com. They can email me at liz@purposeforprofit.org. Yeah, those are two pretty good ways. Info@purposeforprofit is also an email you can use, but that's the best way. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter at @venture_this. I do angel investments as well, not as much right now as I am very focused on fundraising for this project, but
Yep.
yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Liz Kuka from Purpose for Profit, for
Thanks,
being my
Barb.
guest on the Female VC Lab podcast. Thank you. I
Appreciate it.
always appreciate it. This episode is brought to you by Trellin Ventures. find and invest in the next billion-dollar emerging tech company. Sign up for our exclusive content at https://trailyn.com to find out more. Find us on Apple, on Spotify, and on Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.